Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Blonde hair included.
The drive is live. All right, the drive is live, and we're all back together in the building. You heard Tyler. Of course, he might have been sick, but he wasn't going to miss this one, was he? And many of you on YouTube and Twitch, those of you, we're going Cisco here, huh?
Yeah.
Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you. I did. I'm a man of my word. I lost the bet. And last night, Courtney and I, went ahead and, I ain't going to lie to you, almost cheated. Almost went and grabbed the spray.
The anticipation is killing me.
There's almost a spray. It wasn't enough. But I went on in here.
Durag's coming off, ladies and gents. Head to YouTube now.
Oh, man.
Get it off.
This is so good.
Yuck!
Cisco in the house,
baby. Yes, sir. It's there. Yeah, it's there.
Is that Chris Breezy?
Ron the Blonde.
Blonde Ron, baby. I love it. Hey,
there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, the blonde Bob is going to be the real deal, Ron. When you get that thing cleaned up.
It's over. Yeah. No, it's over. No, it's
crank that thing up, T.
I'm not getting a mustache. Yeah, man.
You are a man of your word. I respect it.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Ron, I like it.
No, shut up.
No, man. I do. I like you. I'm telling
Figgy,
you.
Figgy said the same thing. Shut up,
Figgy. I mean, I know Figgy, did you? Hell, Figgy got three colors in his head right there.
Yeah, man. Nah, it ain't. Stop, Reggie.
Oh, man.
Stop. No, it's good. I paid up the bet. Man, I got it.
When
you get that thing cleaned up, running them edges, Ron, it's going to be clean.
No,
man.
It ain't. No,
oh, it is. Absolutely.
I think it could be. Yeah.
It's not. No. It's,
I mean,
it's
I know your heart still hurts because the Royals took a royal ass whooping to make it happen.
Ever but
you're
going
you're going to like it, Ron.
Yeah.
I think I like it. I'll be honest with you.
You just need a lineup, man. Just get you a lineup and you're good.
I'm telling you, I was nervous for you.
Shut up, Biggie. All right. Yeah.
Well done. I tell you, hey, Ron, folks have always
I left it in there for a good hour, Figgy. I thought it was back when I was doing getting the mesh curls. I left it in for a good hour. I said, woo, Corey, boy, this is starting to burn a little bit. Hey, starting to tingle when it's supposed to be tingling like this. And you see this one right here? She put her damn thumbprint right here. And that bad boy won't move up. That beast right there. Thumbprint right there. Won't move up.
Man of your word, man. Great, man. I love it.
That's one part I was very confident in, Ron. There's a ton of listeners. I see people out that listen all the time. They're like, hey, man, Ron ain't going to pay up. I said, look, one thing I do know about Ron, I mean, Ron's going to pay up. If my man makes a bet, he's going to pay.
Financially, now, it might take me a while.
Yeah, I said, if it's money, it may take him a couple, 6 months or something. But something like this, it's going to happen. Well done, bro. Well done.
Yeah. Well
looks good
done
with
indeed.
Them turtle shell glasses you got on, too.
Yeah.
I am surprised at how quick you jumped on it to man up with your bet. Yeah,
what's your barber going to say when you go in there? Are you going Thursday?
I don't know where I'm going.
Are the fellas at the shop going to give you a little bit?
I got a coach tonight. Boy, this durag right here, man. Hold on to that durag. Hold on to that durag, man.
That is great, man.
Yeah, no, man.
The kids will love it, man. Take that thing off.
Oh,
and get
Lauren
out
just
there,
kept staring at me. Just kept staring at me. Yeah, might as well. Yeah, my father-in-law said, might as well hit that beard. Might as well get the eyebrow.
Let it all
hit
go.
Hit the
huh?
beard.
No. Oh, that's no. great.
Yeah.
Well done, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I was after they won three, I was sitting up there in that hill country watching game four, and I was like, come on, man. Let them Royals get one, man. I don't want to avoid
it. Yeah, the two middle games I felt pretty good about. Two and three. Yeah, two Cy Young candidates going in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did not anticipate that our closer and our second or third best player would all get injured on the same play in the first game of the series in the eighth inning.
I told y'all, man, I was sick as a dog. I didn't even know it was almost a sweep till game
3-2
four.
3-2 lead. 3-2 lead in the eighth inning and just a kick in the nuts from there on out. They still haven't won yet, by the way. They've lost six straight. They still haven't won.
What a
their
time. What a time. Now, Ron,
you want to know how
this
bad
is
it was?
Why you don't bet
yeah,
right here.
I was in the building. Yeah, I don't. I was in the building Sunday, and they had two guys in the lineup they just met. So Sunday, it's all riding. Sunday, this look that you see right now is all riding. And I look up and I see the start lineup. I said, when did Yuli join the team? When the hell did Yuli join the
team? Is that like, La Pena?
This is where we are. They had they signed three people that weren't not in triple, just weren't in the organization. Didn't know just on at the crib.
They weren't
and
in
Tommy Pham is on the street. I know he played for two teams this year, but he let off.
He picked up a guy off the streets and
he's leading off. He had two hits, by the way, but he let off. I saw Yuli. I said, Yuli? Where the hell did Yuli come from? I said, oh, hell.
I thought that guy retired.
I said, oh, hell. I'm sitting right over there, and I told my whole family in the fourth inning of that game, it's pitching pretty well. That fourth inning, I knew it's going to be the second time they're coming around, and Yordan was leading off the inning. I told Trey, I said, I don't feel good about this. If that was second or third pitch, Yordan just went deep. I just looked down at him.
And here we sit.
Baby. And then John Singleton's punk ass gonna go deep and hit a two-run homer. I mean a real bat flip. I'm sorry, John. It's just personal right now. Not personal, it's just my hair. And then John went deep and I just No. Well, there it is. No, but shout out to Courtney. She did a great job. Thank you for her. She did hair all weekend and didn't know she was going to do this one.
How many times do you have to do that?
I think we put maybe two coats on there.
You just slap it in there with a brush and then cover it up, right? And that like it.
She's got a glove, mixes it, and then she just kind of rubs it all in.
Okay.
And then you kind of keep it in there about an hour or so.
Well, I mean, what are you're gonna have to clean it up.
Line it up? Yeah, maybe.
Well, line it up. I don't know. You may have to just get some more and do the edges before you line it up.
I'm not adding any more to it. This is where we're at.
Ron, this is going to be a month. You can't do rag everywhere.
I'm not in the building. Well, it's just where we got to go with. I'm not adding any more bleach to my hair. All right? I'm going to let it fall out and let
– Oh, it falls out.
Or however it goes away. I don't know how it goes away.
You just got to let it grow out. Then you got to get a cut. They'll be gone.
Hey, you're going to get them tips. You're going to get them frosted tips, ain't you?
Hey.
You're going to get them frosted tips you've been wanting. It's going to take you about a month to get there, but you're going to get that. Oh, this is great.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
Yeah. Yep. Ron LeBlanc, so many nicknames. Ron L. Blanco. Yeah. Coming in.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
I saw
Ron L. Blondo.
I told you where seats were right behind the bullpen. He was warming up in the game before. His is a lot brighter than mine. I said, I'm not going that deep.
Well, at least he didn't do what he did that one time and accidentally dye it purple.
My man, shout out to Figgy who recorded it. So those of you who didn't see the reveal, Figgy does such great work. I'm sure he'll put out a video for that. So there it is. Blondes, they say blondes have more fun. I have not experienced that yet.
report back.
But I'll let you know. I'll let you know. Yeah. All right. But the drive is live. And Nick Caserio, if you missed it, he spoke earlier today on Payne and Pendergast. And listen, he was on there for a minute. I'm driving the kids to school. I heard Sean in the midway point say, "Are you good on time?" And I felt like they went another half hour. It seemed like
Pendergast and Payne
continue to roll. on there. So if you missed that, you can go to the podcast page and listen to that all the way through. But he talked about a few things. He talked about a few things that we kind of thought was the case. And then a couple of things where I think maybe we had some different thoughts. And almost in ways that we may have disagreed. This was him first talking about the league having film on C.J. Stroud. I know Sean brought that up, and that's been a conversation we've had, that it is year two. They've got 17 games of film of him in the NFL, in this offense. What will that be like? What will that mean for him in year two that people have a little bit more experience? This was the answer from Nick Caserio there.
Yeah, that's probably more of an off-season discussion. I mean, I think that's kind of a, you know, funny topic that everybody resorts to. And then if a player, for some reason, doesn't have a good year, it's, well, it's that's because why. Of the sophomore slump. Yeah. Well, I mean, the reality is you either play good football or you don't. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but that's the reality of it. So there's things that you can work on in the off-season. I think our offensive staff, Bobby, you know, Bill Lazor, you know, Gerard. I mean, they've done a great job spending time and just kind of figuring out, all right, what are some of the things that we do well? What are some of the things that CJ does well? You know, how do we put the offense in a position? And then who's the opponent? And each week there's going to be different challenges. The Colts are going to present certain challenges. You know, once we get to Chicago, they're going to present other challenges. So this league is a week-to-week endeavor, and you have to approach it that way.
All right. He kind of downplayed it a little bit, it seemed like, there. And I know you've had experience in the league. Hell, you experienced from probably even in college where they had a year of tape on you at Arkansas, and the next year how that goes about it. So you've played that position. Your thoughts on that? Is that as big a deal as some people make it?
Well, look, I respectfully disagree with Nick Caserio on this one. I think having film on a player and on a play caller is huge. Now whether you can overcome it, can CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick, can they continue to evolve and adjust and kind of see the defense's adjustments coming before it happens and stay ahead? Sure, possibly. But the reality of it is, like, for instance, there's two guys that I think will be could see a the game differently this year than last year, in a year in which they had monster years. One, the obvious, is CJ Stroud. Like, I will be shocked if early on, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be shocked if the better defenses in the league don't take away all of the quick game, take away all of the right now, take away the screen, at least schematically play to not give you anything immediately, force you to protect, force you to get through progressions, and force you to throw the football down the field over the top of coverage. I will be shocked if we watch as many games in 2024 as we watched in 2023 where there just seemed to be an answer immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that I think is going – like, it's clear.
I think teams probably were surprised that he was so – you know, hell, the combination were, of him, right? And Slowick able to be able to hit all those answers, know exactly where they were.
The defense's inability last year to bait C.J. Stroud into taking additional risk – their inability to force him to get through progressions, their willingness to play some bend-don't-break stuff and just give you the underneath throws. You know, I think that had a lot to do with C.J. Stroud's first year. Let's make the rookie be disciplined and take throws. And then he did it, and then it was like, okay, let's see him do it 17 games, right? And then the O-line gets injured, and so your thought is, look, we can rush four. We don't need to add players to the box. We can rush four and keep everything in front of us. Right, and then all the wide receivers get injured, and you're like, hell, they ain't got nobody that can get over the top. They don't have anybody that can big play. Let's just keep everything in front of us. Let's just make tackles. Right, so I would be shocked if C.J. Stroud has as easy a path to finding the immediate answer. The other guy, it's obvious with C.J. to me. I think they're going to force him to throw the football down the field. Now, with Diggs and Nico and Tank, hopefully that's a situation where he does it, has success with it, and then goes, okay, now y'all back y'all's ass up. Like, he's going to force them to back up. Now you really got something if you're Houston. But out of the gate, teams are going to be crazy if they just sit there and let CJ have the boring. He calls the boring. They're crazy. The other guy, in which I've preached this.
Nico.
Nico Collins. Like, Nico Collins is going to have somebody in his jersey with him 90% of the time. Now, situationally, if it's third and 10, he's obviously not, right? But I think there's, I think he's going to have far fewer catches and ultimately plays where it just seems he's running a 5-yard little box route, and there ain't nobody within 5 yards of him. He's catching the ball and getting ahead of steam, getting north and south. Like, I will be shocked if we see that.
If it's that easy.
Like, I'm forcing, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm forcing Nico Collins to run go routes. I'm forcing Nico Collins to deal with press coverages. And he's big, so he's going to win some of those. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit there and let him catch after catch after catch that's not contested. Like, the dig routes, even the mid-range game where he was running dig routes, which is 15, 16 to 18-yard in routes, like, the safeties are so deep, it's like, oh, we'll just give it to you and come down and tackle. Like, I just don't think that situationally, when it matters the most, you're not
going to
get.
So what do you sense the adjustments are going to be? Because the easy answers, the easy stuff, yeah. Because we would see him unload immediately, and as you would say, he was always hitting the right spot.
Yep.
What is it to try to force him to take risk? What's the adjustment?
Well, I think the easy adjustment, and none of it's as simple as I'm trying to make it sound simple so that people can understand it, but like you suffocate the line of scrimmage. Your safeties play lower. Your corners get up and bump and don't play soft. Your nickel defenders get up and don't allow Dalton Schultz to just run a Y option at 5 yards and be wide ass open. Right, I mean, you make him hold the ball a tick longer if he has to throw the 15-yard comeback. You make him hold the ball a tick longer if he's got to throw the crosser from all the way across the field. You make him hold the ball a tick longer if he's got to wait on the post route to get over the top of a free safety, even if that free safety's at 12 yards instead of 15 yards. Like, you got to force him to hold the football and not have immediate answers. To me, that's the most important. When you talk about the turnover ratio, when Nick Caserio talked about too, there's no stat in the game of football that's more relative to winning football games, relevant, I guess, to winning football games than the turnover ratio, right? And CJ, when you talk about him not turning the football over last year, defenses continually allowed him to take the easy, boring stuff underneath. And so that to me, that's got. Now, the good thing for us is one of the places where CJ is physically more gifted is that second level of the field. The accuracy is crazy. So, you know, he may be able to push defenses back, but I think for the most part, teams aren't going to sit there and allow CJ Stroud to lead the league and to throw for 275 yards. And no interceptions.
It wasn't just like the answers were like, hey, he's throwing them and he's going for 3 yards. Like, it would make not just first downs, but sometimes big plays because he knew exactly. There was not a lot of confusion, except the Ravens. The Ravens seemed to confuse him late, but there wasn't a lot of confusion there where they weren't, you know, getting plays off or getting yards. Or something, where it didn't look like, it looked like, hey, we're taking this away, but what we're giving you is 3 yards. Like, they still made plays and were able to move the football down the field. It just seemed like he was ahead of them all the time.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that is always going to be the case.
Well, I saw somebody breaking down film on CJ the other day, and it wasn't the film, it was a stat that I thought was interesting. Last year, apparently, he was the best quarterback in the NFL versus cover three. Right? Coaches didn't know that last year. I mean, obviously, as you got deeper and deeper into the season, coaches later knew, right? But when you've got a year's – so right now, if you're going to play cover three, if you're going to close the middle of the field, put one safety deep, back your corners off, again, soft, and allow free releases by the outside receivers or quick throws to the outside receivers or the screen game to the outside receivers with no force player whatsoever, and you're going to do that against C.J. Stroud this year, if the head coach is going to be able to walk in and say, hey, dumbass, what did you not know? This guy was great against cover three last year. What were we thinking playing soft cover three, right? So I think I just disagree with Nick from the film standpoint. I think from a film and tendency standpoint, like C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins are going to – it's going to have to look different this year, I believe.
Yeah.
Definitely situationally and definitely against the better teams, which this schedule is loaded against better teams.
All right, coming up, also, Nick made some comments about Dameon Pierce, and the depth chart is out. What do you see where Dameon Pierce is? We'll let you know about that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, welcome back to the Drive. Sterner and Hughley.
It's going to take a little getting used to, boys. It's going to take a little getting used to.
I saw you that last segment once you were talking about C.J. Stroud. I felt like you just didn't look over
there. You didn't want to get distracted.
I honestly think it's got potential. I mean, I was nervous. I mean, I was like hideous nervous. I think it's got potential. I think Courtney, how'd Courtney respond?
Boy, you do some dumb stuff.
It was so organic.
I lost another bad one. I have to find the picture for it. Did I ever show you that time where I lost the bet? I promise you I've won bet. I lost the bet, but I just
The people should know, hell, you drank them down here at Twin Peaks. We won that one. That was your doing.
I had to just shave my head on the air. One time I lost a bet.
Right.
I don't know if I've seen anything from that, but I know you've told me about it.
Yeah, I had to pull that picture up. Well, I went directly to the barbershop afterward. My barber at the time, Dan, I had a skull cap on, took off that skull cap. He said, "Damn! What did you do?" I said, "Man, just cut that thing off, man. Let's shave it bald and start over."
No, nobody feels worse than me, man. Just tighten me up, please.
Hey, y'all, look at this. Hey, hold on. He said, "Nah, I gotta take a picture of this." I said, Why do you gotta take a picture of it? But it's gonna take a little. It's gonna hell. It took. I forgot this morning when I woke up. Lauren did the same thing. My daughter, she just stared at me this morning. She couldn't wait.
You walk in there and she just like walk in and try to wake you up. Like Liv walks in and wakes me up. Could you imagine if Liv walked in and woke me up and I had blonde hair, bleached blonde hair? She'd be like, "Daddy,
they didn't see the complete finished product." Hey, Brandon, I don't know what you're in there doing, but there ain't no reason to get closer. I don't know what you're in here trying to do.
We're just working, man. We're just working here.
Just let it live, man.
We're just
what
working.
What you in here doing, man?
It's all right. We got it.
It's all right, man.
trying to zoom in on that thing, ain't
I? And I want to say that I'm not deterred. If I feel good, I will make this bet. I will make these. Sorry. Gold look there. Whew. Ooh, yeah.
We got you on a single shot now, bro.
That's ridiculous.
Let's let the people get a good look at it.
Shut up, Leroy. People just
Leroy likes
it. Leroy's.
Like, tell by his laugh.
Look like a bad version of Dennis Rodman.
when you first pulled it off, that is that you got the only reason I went Rodman like in my mind to me is because of the color. It's golden. Like Rodman's was golden.
Yeah, it is. That's straight up that dark and lovely.
Oh, is that what it's called?
That's what I had to use, that dark and lovely. Yeah, yeah. Had to move that way. I didn't want just a straight bleach. Like the straight, like.
Well, you'd have burnt your scalp, I'd imagine,
like,
right?
Well, no, there's another, like almost like the way, like Ronel Blanco's. His is like that light, hot, bright.
Yeah.
I didn't want that.
Okay. You wanted that red. You wanted the Ginger Nation.
Let me get more.
Hey, Ginger Bros in here, man.
Blonde. Yeah.
This is great. Yeah, it's still getting used to.
Yeah, it will. All right. Nick Caserio, and I know some of you are annoyed and frustrated. Not even frustrated, but just annoyed by the conversation of Dameon Pierce, who, by the way, today, the unofficial depth charts came out and Dameon Pierce is the number two running back, guys. How about that?
We'll see how this thing unfolds.
Joe Mixon.
Wow, dude.
Dameon Pierce. But as we said, it don't mean nothing because Davis Mills was the backup quarterback all season long until they needed a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And they went in another direction. But here was Nick Caserio because his comments may add more towards why that may not be just put up there and it may be the real deal that he is the number two back. This is him with Payne and Pendergast earlier talking about Dameon Pierce.
DP's had a good attitude. He's worked really hard. I think, you know, the weight, I mean, honestly, he's been overblown. I mean, he's got good contact balance. He runs low to the ground. He can break tackles. In practice, we're not tackling. We're not bringing anybody to the ground. So you're just looking for just do they execute the assignment? Do they have the right technique? So at some point, we're going to need everybody that's on this football team to make a contribution. So whether it's DP, whether it's Cam Akers, whether it's J.J. Taylor on the practice squad, whomever it might be. So DP's had a great attitude. He's had a great approach. He's in condition. He was out there every day. We've talked about this. I've talked about this. I mean, I'd say there's a lot of things that DP dealt with last year on a personal level that not too many people were aware of. And I think that's where you see the intersection of we kind of lose sight of sometimes that they're football players, but we're all people. And we care about them as much as men and people as we do what they do on a football field. I would say overall, DP's in a good spot. I think he's going to help our football team this year. We'll take it one day at a time. And whenever the opportunities present themselves, you're looking for people to capitalize. And, you know, we're not going to jump to any conclusions. We're not going to make any decisions. We're ultimately going to do what we feel is best for the football team. So hopefully your fears can subside here and, you know, you can get a good night's sleep now and not have to worry about that.
All right. Say, hey, good night's sleep. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about it. And to people out there as well, Clint, Tyler, did Nick Caserio calm your concern?
No. No, not. I mean, it depends
on
how we look at it. I mean, like, I'm gonna be honest with you. That's a canned answer. That's a I don't want to say anything negative answer. When we ask you about a running back that has gone for damn near 1,000 yards and then just fell to the sidelines
about
last
10
year
games
and has been topic of conversation, and we ask you and you're asked about that guy, and you go so deep down the depth chart that you bring up J.J. Taylor, a rookie that's on a practice squad. And then you also go into the personal life things, the struggles of last year, what he dealt with off the field. Like, man, we just want to know what the running back order is going to be Sunday afternoon. Like, or is he going to get legit real carries in the game on Sunday? And that's to me, that's a canned answer, and that is – we don't want to say anything negative. We don't want to say that the guys, you know, Cam Akers is going to be the number. So it depends on how you look at that. Like, are you if the concern is who's going to be the number two back and is it going to be Cam Akers? If you believe it should be Cam Akers, I feel better that it's going to be Cam Akers after that response.
Yeah. No, I of course you didn't feel better with it. I mean, he didn't say nothing.
I mean, we went like J.J. Taylor.
And what you said didn't match what we saw.
Well, that's why I'm bullish.
You know what? Like, as I've seen somebody in YouTube and Twitch say, you know, what is it? Honestly, I trust D'Amico and Nick's thought on who is on the team and how the team is ran. Respectfully, they know much more about the squad than us. You're right. They do. They saw them runs, too. Maybe when he gets in the game against the Colts on Sunday, you know, the carries will look completely different and it was just a preseason thing and it was like they were just filling things out. We'll see. But my concern will lessen about Damian Pierce when Damian Pierce starts to physically show us things that would lessen our concern.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Again, the depth and width of where he went with that answer, I think, is telling. But then also talking about practice, like a practice we don't tackle, right? We're just looking for assignment. Like Damian Pierce's problem isn't knowing which direction to go in a run game or what route to run in the pass game or who to protect in the pass game if he's got protection responsibilities. Like if that's a problem, he ain't going to be on the field, period. Like, the problem is when you get in live action and you get out there and guys are legitimately trying to tackle you, the inability to hit a crease, the inability to cut it back, the inability to not run up the ass end of your offensive lineman, like, those are all real live action problems. So you can thud all you want in practice and not tackle, but the real problems are exposed when – with this particular player, with what we're talking about, the real problem is obvious if and only if it's live action.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, outside zone, when you're just thudding up, because it's not just not tackling. I mean, the offensive line's thudding up too.
Yeah.
The linebackers are thudding up too. I mean, they're not running through guys that are trying to block them. They're thudding up. Once they're covered, boom. We're going to ease up. We're not going to the ground. We're not going to injure guys.
I thought you were going to give us a fifth thudding up.
You like that thudding up?
It was four. I mean, four and
thudding up.
Quick face.
The safeties, Jalen Petrie, thudding up.
Speaking of somebody who thudded up, and that would be our next guest coming up on the other side, Sean Merriman, former All-Pro. And
he had a problem with thudding up.
And he could sack quarterbacks, too. Hopefully Sean's listening. Sean Merriman, he'll join the show. We'll get his thoughts about the Texans. And I'm interested to get his thoughts about Will Anderson. They had a very similar path. Both won Rookie of the Year defensively. And his next year, he had 17 and a half sacks in 12 games. So we'll get his thoughts on the Texans and the rest of this NFL season. Sean Merriman coming up next right here live on The Drive.
The Drive is live.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Sean Merriman, former All-Pro, will be joining us coming up soon, so stay tuned for that. I love to hear that the Texans have been getting a lot of love from national pundits, people out there. Ryan Clark, he's maybe the most bullish. Him and Greg Jennings. I saw Greg Jennings the other day. They were going to get to the Super Bowl, and he had CJ as the MVP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was doing his season prediction. Ryan Clark's been high on him. So a lot of people have been very, very high on the Houston Texans. And let's go to the phone line now and talk to our guy, former All-Pro Sean Merriman. He is courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated Super Bowl, conference, division, and award odds, plus win totals for each team, week one lines, and a plethora of fun props on every single game. All right, Sean, we appreciate you joining us. I'm curious, this from you right off the bat, is seeing as the season has started, a lot of people have a lot of hype has been around the Texans. Do you consider and see this team as a legit Super Bowl contender?
I do. And I'll say this. Coaching matters. And they got a hell of a coach down there who, played during my era. And that mentality that he's brought there, you can tell is trickling down to the rest of the team. And not just being tough, but also being able to communicate, relate. All those things matter in the coaching days, especially with these younger guys. When you got a coach Stroud, man, it's you got a chance. He got Stephon Diggs down there. He has Dale, Mock, the running back down there, Joe. So they're low offensive line tensile. I think they had a real shot. The only thing that I would say for them this year could be a concern is they're not flying under the radar anymore. That's the biggest issue they're going to have coming into this year, where no one's coming in into that game expecting these guys not to be able to play. They are coming on, they're strapping up their chin, and they're pushing on their cleats knowing that they're going to have a dogfight. So it's not going to be the same wins that they had last year, but I definitely see those guys as a contender.
Sean, you mentioned some of the win-now moves that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans made this year, right? And I believe the story of this season is, can those win-now moves offset – going from a last-place schedule to a first-place schedule? I want you to speak directly to the significance or the weight that it carries, if you will, of an organization that's going from, again, that last-place schedule versus that first-place schedule that's full of again, teams that at least have Super Bowl aspirations at this point.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a mentality shift, and I've seen that happen. I've seen – come into a program and an organization where guys are just used to losing, and that happens from the top. And when you don't have the correct leadership, you know, D'Amico Ryan's coming in with that, his attitude, not only a player because he had the knowledge, but the ability, and I want to make sure that, you know, I reiterate this, the ability to relate and get the most out of your guys. That's his biggest attribute. That's his biggest attribute, to get those guys to believe in what he's saying, and they'll run through a wall for him. If you can do that, plus you got talent, you can change the mentality of a locker room pretty quickly. We've seen him do that already. He's doing that now. Now, obviously, that division is better this year. I'll say this, that, you know, they're not going to sneak by anybody no more. We all know about C.J. Stroud. We know about Dell now, Stephon. We know what they got. And so now they're not coming under the radar. So they have to be ready to play 100% week in and week out.
All right, Sean, that's the second time you've said that. And many times I listen, I work with an ex-player all the time, and there's some things that maybe fans or listeners aren't always taking it in as a big deal in the league. That's the second time you've said that they're not sneaking up on anybody. From your experience, what is the difference in that? Because I think that's an element that I don't know if a lot of people are taking or putting a lot of weight in.
Yeah, it's all about what you put on film, right? And, you know, I had this talk with Micah Parsons a couple of years ago before he came into last season. I said, dude, you're not sneaking up on anybody. People know you now. They got film. People got film on C.J. Stroud. They know what he's capable of. They know that he can take over a game. Dell is not, you know, sneaking up on anybody. Now everybody knows Stephon Diggs. We know what kind of coach D'Amico Ryans is. They're not sneaking up on anybody. So now the mentality has to switch that we're going to get everybody's best effort week in and week out. And if they can stand up against that, they're going to come out of that division again and put up big, big numbers and have a lot of wins also.
Sean, I'm glad you said that. I just went on air here and disagreed with the general manager of the Texans this morning about, he made a comment that, you know, look, that whole, they got film on guys now and you blame a sophomore slump on the film and all that. It's really not that big a deal. I just respectfully disagree, especially when you're talking about C.J. Stroud. You being an elite, one of the most elite pass rushers this league has ever seen, right, and playing with some really good defense. In your mind, when you look at this Texans offense and you saw C.J. Stroud playing almost a Brady type of quarterback, where he's just getting the ball out, I mean, so quick, and he's always going to the right place, don't you think that defenses and even pass rushes to a certain extent are going to at least, and I don't know if it's going to work, but they're damn sure going to adjust based on what they saw last year from C.J.?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that's C.J. Stroud, one of his biggest and best abilities I think he has, especially being that young, is his decision-making. His decision-making has just been incredible, because a lot of guys, especially when you're young, you get flustered, you know, blitzes, and they, you know, kind of showing you different fronts, you know, hiking the ball late, you're getting, you know, kind of swamped, you make bad decisions. His decision-making has just been great for somebody so young. Now, people know they're not going to come in and confuse them. You got to line up and across the board and beat them. You got to play them. You got to put pressure on them. You got to stay in his face. That may not have been the case coming out this season, because everyone's still looking at him as a rookie last year. And it is a completely different way you approach the game, where you know a guy doesn't have that rookie mentality anymore. He can go out and he can actually hurt you. So I can't wait to see it. I don't believe in a sophomore slump. I don't think you can have an incredible season like a C.J. Stroud and it can be a fluke. I think he is legit as they come. But what he has to prepare for now is that he's not expected to be that rookie how people look at him on the defense side of the ball. He's going to get everyone best from week in and week out now.
Sean Merriman with us, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated Super Bowl conference division and awards, odds, plus win totals for each team, week one lines, and a plethora of fun props for every game coming up this week. Speaking of other rookies, they've made some win now moves, but C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson were the other top three picks that they selected in last year's draft, and both of them were the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, just like you were defensively. And then that second season, you really took off as well with the Chargers. What kind of adjustments did you have to make in year two that maybe Will Anderson may have to do coming off of his rookie year?
Well, Will Anderson, you know, I've watched him since he was a freshman, you know, in college. And I was put onto him a long time ago, and someone actually called me. It was a beat writer down in Alabama, saying, hey, this guy, Will Anderson looks very similar to you. And I said, yeah, right. So I started paying attention to him, and then over the years, he started to pick up some weight. He started to pick up a little bit more speed. He started to be more of an impact guy. Last year, a lot of his plays he made was on ability. You know, being one-on-one, he was big on little with those running backs or fullback, running backs who were trying to block him. He's going to win those battles. The step that I want to see him this year is understanding formations down the distance, where the ball is lined up at, so you can start really narrowing down the plays they're going to run against you. That way you can pick your ears back and go, because what he's so explosive that when he gets off the line of scrimmage, no one can do anything with him. That's his biggest attribute. But once he understands the game of football and stop letting his athletic ability just take over, and he gets what he's doing out there, he's going to be unstoppable. And I already said that he was going to win the Defensive Rookie of the Year before the season started, because he had that level of talent. Now this is the year that he really makes that jump.
All right, Sean, I know you're with us courtesy of Bet Online, and I'm curious. The big question is, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Do you get the sense that the Chiefs are going to do what no team has done, win three consecutive Super Bowls? Would they be your pick to win the Super Bowl this year?
You know, it's so hard for me to go against the Super Bowl champs, right? You just don't. I think it's disrespectful. They're always a chance until someone dethrones them. But as you said, man, it is very hard to have that three-peat. And what happens is teams just get better. 2 years ago, the Chiefs didn't have to worry about the Texans. 2 years ago, the Chargers wasn't even on the site because of Brandon Staley and the coaching staff. And, you know, Andrew. Now the Chargers, are a real contender because of Joe, all these guys they drafted in the offensive line and Herbert and that defense. So if they do win the championship, I'll say this. They will go down, in my opinion, as one of the greatest teams that ever played the game. And not just because of the three-peat. It's that these guys continuously go out and win games that they're not supposed to. I didn't think they should have been in the Super Bowl last year. And they found ways to win. So I can't really go against them. But it is going to be a much difficult path to get there this year.
All right, Sean, we appreciate you joining us. And enjoy the start of this season.
Thanks, guys. And then also make sure you download Lights Out Sports TV. It's my new free ad-supported all-sports streaming service available on all major platforms, smart TV. So make sure you guys download Lights Out Sports TV out there.
All right, appreciate it. All right, that's Sean Merriman, again, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated Super Bowl conference division and awards odds, plus win totals for each team. Week one lines and a plethora of fun props for every game coming up. All right, let's look at the Astros, because they had a great streak rolling, and they struggled last night behind Justin Verlander. We'll talk about that and some news with Spencer Arrighetti, some good news with him as well, and a little bit more into what a big night it was for Bill O'Brien. About Bill O'Brien had him a big night for you, Bill. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.